Yesterday we began the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph on the days, and I'll just clue you in a little bit as to what was going on. We said that a person could make a certain error in terms of the time. He doesn't know exactly what time it is. So even though Chometz becomes Asur at Chatzos, which is midday on the 14th of Nisan, but nevertheless the Rabbanan were afraid that he might mistakenly think that he still has time, so they made it earlier. Rabbi Meir says they made it 1 hour earlier. The Rabbi Yehuda says they made it 2 hours earlier. So the Isur Chometz Midrabbanan starts earlier. That was the Mishnah. It's going to be a while until we come back to the Mishnah. Maybe at the end of this morning we'll come back to the Mishnah, I don't know. But right now, in order to establish how much of a mistake there could be, there would be a Mishnah in Sanhedrin that deals with the case of two witnesses, and there's a discrepancy between the two witnesses. And the question is there any way that we can reconcile this discrepancy? So let's read the Mishnah again, not our Mishnah, but I mean the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Tnan Hossa. Eid Echad Omer B'Shnayim B'Chodesh. According to the testimony of one witness, this took place, the murder, let's say, took place on the second day of the month. The Echad Omer, the second witness, says B'Shlosha, on the third day of the month. Now, they're testifying on two different days, two different dates. And therefore, you and I would have said we cannot reconcile this contradiction between one witness and the other. No, Eidus on Kayemis. We can reconcile the two Eidim together. Why? That one of the two witnesses was aware of the fact that the previous month was a mole, that's called Iburo Shel Chodesh, meaning it was a month that was made up of 31 days, meaning that Rosh Chodesh would be the 31st day, and therefore he would testify on the second day of the month. This one doesn't know about it. So he thinks that Rosh Chodesh was a day earlier, because he thinks that the previous month was 29, and therefore Rosh Chodesh was on the 30th day. So again, there's two possibilities in every month. It's either Rosh Chodesh is going to be on the 31st day because the previous month was a mole, was a full 30 days, or Rosh Chodesh will be on the 30th day because the previous month was a chasa, it was only 29 days. And the difference is going to be on any particular day that they're testifying on. They both are testifying about the same day, but one calls it the second day of the month, the other calls it the third day of the month. The one who calls it the second day of the month, he is aware of the fact that the previous month was a mole, and therefore we started counting the new month a little bit later, one day later, so he calls it the second day of the month. The other witness is unaware of the fact that the previous month was a full mole of 30 days, and therefore Rosh Chodesh was on the 31st day. He thought already on the 30th day it was Rosh Chodesh, because the previous month was a chaser. It was only 29 days, and therefore from his counting, we have to push it forward by one day, he came up with the third day of the month. And therefore we can reconcile them, just that not everybody knew about the previous month, and it took a long time until that word would get out. Maybe it would take another 2 weeks until finally the people would know about it. However, says the Mishnah, Echad Om B'Shlosha V'Echad Om B'Chamisha, if the discrepancy is 2 days, one says it's on the third day of the month, the other says it's on the fifth day of the month, Eidusa B'Teila, we have to invalidate the witnesses, because the mistaken about Iburo Shel Chodesh can only account for 1 day's discrepancy, not for 2 days. So that's what we have in the first part of this Mishnah. Now Tosvus, Dibra Maskel Zeyodea, if you take a look at the second line, towards the end of the second line in Tosvus, he says the following. He says, Hiksha Riva, Ma Ilu Daikinon Bahani Sahadi, if we would be very careful when we investigate these witnesses, why don't we find out whether they knew about the previous month, whether it's Mole or whether it's Chasa, or they don't know about it? Maybe we'll investigate it. And to our surprise, they both knew about the fact that the previous month was a full 30 days. And therefore, Havile Edus Mukreshes, then there's a contradiction between one aid and the other. Notice the only way you could reconcile is if you presume that one of the two witnesses was unaware of the fact that the previous month was made into a mole, that was called Iburo Shel Chodesh. Now you're going to tell me, well, we're not even going to bother asking them. It doesn't make sense, says Tosus. Heich Nekum Vinikto, we're going to kill the accused, Misfeka, because we think maybe the discrepancy can be reconciled by the fact that one of the two witnesses is unaware of the fact that the previous month was a chaser. He didn't hear the good news. But how can you assume that he didn't hear the news? If you would have asked him, maybe he would have told you, yeah, the last month was a mole. And then there's no way you can reconcile the two witnesses. So what gives you the right to make this assumption and therefore to be machshir the Edim, and therefore put the Nidon to death? Why don't you just ask him? And you may be surprised to find out that there's no way you could reconcile these two. And they both were aware of the fact that the previous month was a mole. And Tosfos points out, the Hachi Parach B'Samach, I'll show you in a few lines down the road, the Gemara is going to ask a similar kind of question on the Sefer of the Mishnah. We're not up to the Sefer of the Mishnah yet. So let's just fast forward to the words V'yesh Lomar. He says the following, but we are absolutely convinced that they're both referring to the same day and that one of them is unaware of the fact that the previous month was a mole. How do we know this? The cave of the Shailu who beis a yom, because not only are you going to ask him what calendar day, what day of the week it was, and they both tell you it was on the same day. Shmam, you know, how could one be mistaken about the date when he has the right day of the week? The answer must be that he doesn't know about the Ibur HaChodesh. Now we go back to the Mishnah, and we're up to the Sefer of the Mishnah. Now, in the Reish of the Mishnah, we asked the witnesses what day of the month it was. Now we're going to ask what hour of the day it was. Echad Omer B'Shtei Shos, one of them tells us that the murder took place 2 hours into the day. Let's say, for example, he would say it took place at 8 a.m. The Echad Omer B'Shalosh Shos, and one puts it at 9 a.m. So there's a discrepancy of 1 hour. And the Mishnah establishes in the name of Rabbi Meir, in this case, a duson kayemis. We can reconcile the difference. 1 hour is not enough for a hakhosha, to make it into a contradiction. And this will touch on the issue of how much of a margin of an error you have. But echad omer shalosh v'echad omer chamesh, if one of them said that it took place, let's say, at 9 a.m., and the other one says it took place at 11 a.m., right? So there's a discrepancy now of 2 hours, then Edusa Betela, then we have to throw out the Edus. So as long, that's Divrei Rabbi Meir. So as long as the discrepancy is 1 hour, then we can assume that they're both really talking about the same event, and they're both testifying about the same episode that took place, just that there's a mistake here of an hour. That's according to Rabbi Meir. But if there's a discrepancy of 2 hours, that's already too wide of a gap, that's irreconcilable, and therefore I do some betela. And now we go on to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, even in the case where one said it was at 9 a.m., the other said it was at 11 a.m., a duson kayemis. There's no akhosha, there's no contradiction. But Echad Omer B'Chamesh, the Echad Omer B'Sheva, if one of them said that the murder took place at 11 a.m., and the other one says that it took place 2 hours later, well, let's say one says it was at 10 a.m. and one says it was after 12 noon, then Edusa V'Tela. Why? We cannot reconcile them because B'Chamesh, during the fifth hour, Chama B'Tzad Mizrach, the sun is on the east. But B'Sheva, but already when you get past noon into the seventh hour, Chama B'Tzad Mayrav, the sun tilts towards the west. And nobody can make a mistake about that. You know, they can make a mistake within the morning hours or within the afternoon hours, but not between the morning and the afternoon. Omar Abaye, this is where we were up to yesterday. Kishatimse Lomar, meaning if you check this out very thoroughly, if you investigate it, you'll begin to understand what this machlokus is all about. L'divrei Rabbi Meir, ein adam toev velo klum. Rabbi Meir allows for absolutely no margin of error. Uledir Rabbi Yehuda Adam Toa v'chatzi shah. Rabbi Yehuda allows for a margin of error of 1.5 hour, 30 minutes. How does that work out? Ledivrei Rabbi Meir, ein adam toa v'lo klum. So what we're going to have to say is that there is no discrepancy between the two Adam, because again, if there's discrepancy, then one of them is lying, because we cannot reconcile the two, because nobody makes any mistakes. So they must be saying the same thing. What does it mean that they must be saying the same thing? Because Maisa Kihava, when did the murder take place? B'mepik tarte u'me'ayl tlots, at the very end of the second hour, when we're about to enter into the third hour. In other words, when the clock strikes, let's say, 9 o'clock in the morning, right? Or, again, I'm always trying to give it a little bit of a spin in hour clock, so I translate it into hour hours. 9 o'clock is the last second of the 8 to 9 period. It's the first second of the 9 to 10 hour. And therefore, Kiavi Mapik Tarte Umi'ayl Tlas. V'hachikar, this is what each witness is testifying. One aide says it was Shtayim, which means Sof Shtayim, was at the end of the second hour. V'hadikamar, and the second witness says Shalosh, he means Tchila Shalosh. And that second in time can be described in two different ways. You can call it the end of the second hour, you can call it the beginning of the third hour, because there's 1 second that represents both the end of the second hour and the beginning of the third hour. So they're both saying the same thing, just in different words. But no one's making a mistake, because at what point in time did the murder take place? It took place at the end of the second hour and the beginning of the third hour. So one person called it, he described it as the second hour, meaning the end of the second hour. The other witness described it as the third hour, meaning the beginning of the third hour. And that's exactly when it took place, at the end of the second and the beginning of the third. Oh, that's according to whom? That's according to Rabbi Meir. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Toa b'chatzi shah. A man can make a mistake of 1/2 hour. So it means the following: Maisa ki hava, when did the murder take place? B'palga di arba hava, meaning halfway between the third hour and the beginning of the fourth hour. Haideka omar shalosh. The one who said that it was at the third hour, he meant it was sof shalosh. V'katoi palga di shaita l'kameh. He made a mistake of 1 hour earlier. In other words, he called it a half hour earlier, because again, it was that midpoint between the two, and he gave it the earlier name. V'haydeka Amar, the other witness who called it Chamesh, what he meant was the beginning of the fifth hour. V'katoi palga d'shaita le'achore, and he jumped ahead by 1/2 hour. So one person made a mistake because, just 1 second, let me get this again. Just want to make a bracha. So So let's go through the two witnesses and see how they were both referring to a half hour's discrepancy in one direction or a half hour's discrepancy in the other direction. Let's go through the numbers here.
Can I ask a question?
Just a minute, I'll take all the questions. I just want to make sure I understand what's going on. And then you can ask me questions, because if I don't understand, there's no way I can answer your question, right?
Okay.
So he says the following. V'haydika Omar Sholosh. One aide testified that it was at the third hour. What did he have in mind? Sof Sholosh, the end of the third hour. When did the murder actually take place? It took place midway between the beginning of the fourth hour and the beginning of the fifth hour. No, it's halfway into the fourth hour. So if he meant at the end of the third hour, then he's off by a half hour. No, he was makdim. His description was a half hour off in the earlier direction. Behind the comment, the second witness, when he said the word Chamesh, what he meant was the beginning of Chamesh. Now, the murder actually took place half hour into the fourth hour, meaning midway between 4 and 5. We'll call it 4:30. So one person said it was at the end of the third hour, which means it was at 4 o'clock. He's off by a half hour. He's mocked him by a half hour. The other one said number 5, what he meant is the beginning of the fifth hour, which is a half hour after 4:30. And he made a mistake because he was ma'acher. He made it later by a half hour. Go ahead, now I have it done.
The only way this makes sense to me is if the witnesses are questioned. Otherwise,
okay, so that's going to be Tosfos.
It's just a use assumption.
Tosfos wants to know, how can you make these assumptions?
Okay.
Maybe if we asked them exactly what he meant, he would tell you he didn't mean the end of the third hour, he meant the beginning of the third hour. So let's leave that for Tosfos.
Okay.
Believe me, every question you're going to come up with is in the Rishonim.
Okay.
I promise you that.
Okay.
Now again, the premise here of Abaye is pretty sensational, because according to Abaye, in Rabbi Meir's frame of reference, there's no room for error. And again, we're going to have a trouble with our Mishnah, because remember, the whole predicate of our Mishnah is that there is room for error of an hour. But we'll get back to that later. Now, the logical hole, so to speak, the loose wire here, on a logical basis, in Abaye's understanding of a mayor, is that you have to assume, according to Abaye, that the murder took place at a very specific second. 1 second, which is the end of the second hour and the beginning of the third hour. The overlap between the second hour and the third hour. That's one split second in time. If you don't assume that, then one of the two witnesses made a mistake. And again, according to Abaye, Rabbi Meir doesn't tolerate any mistake. There's no margin of error. Because in the language of Abaye, L'divrei Rabbi Meir, ein adam tov v'lo klum. Now, the only way you can reconcile the second and the third hour and say none of them made a mistake is only if you assume that the episode took place exactly at that second, which is the termination of the second hour and the beginning of the third hour. So, Ika Diamri, the Gemara says, you know what? There's another way of explaining Abaye. So this is what we call the Lishna Basra of Abaye, the second version of Abaye, which is going to circumvent this problem that Abaye seems to be assuming that the murder took place at one specific second. Omar Abaye, Kishetimtzi Lomar L'divrei Rabbi Meir Odom Toa Mashahu. Rabbi Meir accepts the possibility of making a human error. He calls it a mashu. A mashu means a small period of time, a few seconds. I don't know what it is. Rabbi Yehuda allows for a full hour and another little piece. Let's go through it now. When a person says, one of the two witnesses says the second hour, the other witness said the third hour. Maisa kihava. When did the episode actually take place? And now we have two possible times. Again, they're very close to each other, but they're not exactly the overlap of that 1 second. Either it took place b'sof shtayim, or b'tchila shalosh. Right? It either took place at the end of the second hour or the beginning of the third hour. We're not sure. So again, according to the first Lishna Abaye, we're sure. We're absolutely certain. It took place at that 1 second, which is the crossroads between the end of the second and the beginning of the third. Now we're saying we don't know. It could be possible. We don't have to assume that it took place at that 1 second. Could have taken place at the very end of the second hour, or it took place at the beginning of the third hour. Oh, so now we understand the following. One of them made a mistake in that short period of time between the end of the second and the beginning of the third in one direction and another. So let's go through it. One of the two witnesses, Shtayim, it took place in the second hour. He means at the end of the second hour. The other one says it took place in the third hour. He means the beginning of the third hour. One of them made a mistake by Amashu. We don't know which one of them. But we can reconcile this discrepancy with Amashu. And we would assume that if there's a discrepancy between one Eid who says the end of the second and one Eid at the beginning of the third, one of the two Eidim got it right on the target and the other one was off by Amashu. So again, I don't know exactly when the murder took place. But let's go through the two possibilities. If the murder took place at the end of the second hour, then the one who said the third hour, he's off by a mashu. If the murder took place at the beginning of the third hour, then the one who said the second hour is off by a mashu. But in any event, the margin of error here is minimal, but we don't have to assume that we definitely know that the murder took place at one specific second. It could have taken place either at the end of the second hour or the beginning of the third hour, and there's a mistake here of one of the eight that made a mistake by a mashu. The Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says one of them said three and the other said five. Adam toeh b'shah u'mashu. He can make a mistake, not of a half hour as we described in the first Lishna of Abai, but of a full hour plus a little bit beyond. U'maisa kihava, when did the actual murder take place? O b'sof shalosh, either at the end of the third hour, o b'tchilas chamesh, or the beginning of the fifth hour. And here we turn to Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. V'chad minayu katoi shah u'mashu. So let's go through this. One aid says that it took place in the third hour, right? The third hour means the end of the third hour. In truth, it could be possible that if the other aid was more meticulous, was more on target, then the murder took place in the beginning of the fifth hour. But if the end of the third hour, if you add an hour to Mashu, you get the beginning of the fifth hour. Now, the other aid said that it took place in the beginning of the fifth hour. Maybe it took place at the end of the third hour. And if it took place at the end of the third hour, he's off by a Sha'a, an hour, and a Mashu. And now we get to your question, Donna, before, and that's the Tosfos Dibra Maskil Echad Omer B'Shtei Sha'os, which is, I believe, the last Tosfos, or shall we say the second and last Tosfos on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. V'im Tomar V'amaye Dusan Kayemis. Why do you reconcile these two witnesses? According to the first Lishna in Abaye, it means none of them made a mistake, but this one meant the end of the second, this one meant the beginning of the third. Or, according to the second Lishna, this one meant at the end of the second and the murder took place at the beginning of the third, and therefore there's a mashu of a difference. Ilu daikinon. Daikinon means if we would interrogate the Eidim, Bahani Eidim, these Eidim. If we would interrogate them and ask, Deha dekamar shtayim, what did you mean, Mr. So-and-so? When you said shtayim, maybe he would say tchila shtayim, at the beginning of the second hour. And if he would answer you, I meant the beginning of the second hour, havile kodem hanetzachama, that would be too early in the day. Now again, I'm not sure why Tosfos at this point has to introduce hanetzachama. Perhaps I'll be smarter after I go through the Tosfos again and again. But be that as it may, we're now just expanding the discrepancy between the two Eidim, because if the whole thesis of Rabbi Meir according to Abaye is that when he said the second hour, he meant the end of the second hour. Maybe he'll tell you, surprise you, he'll say, I meant the beginning of the second hour. And therefore, he says, Edusa Vitela, because now the discrepancy is irreconcilable. So why is it that we do not interrogate the Edim? Are you with me on this? And as we have a principle that goes the following. The accused is innocent until guilty. The Torah says Vitzilu Aedah. The shoftim, the judges are required to try to defend the defendant as much as they can, Vitzilu Aedah, and save him from these Aedim that are testifying that he's a murderer and he should be killed. So if we want to do that, if that's our obligation as a Beis Din, why assume that when one aide said the second hour, he meant the end of the second hour, the other aide said the third hour, he meant the beginning of the third hour, why not ask them? And lo and behold, to your surprise, the guy who said Shtayim, maybe he'll tell you, Tchila Shtayim.
It's not even a question of why don't they have to.
Correct. Now again, this Tosfos is a mirror image of the previous Tosfos when we talk about the day of the month. But their Tosfos reconciled it by saying, well, they both said it was on the same day. And that proves that one of them was unaware of the Ibur HaChodesh. But in the case of Shaul's, we're not talking about Ibur HaChodesh, that's irrelevant here. And yet you're assuming that when this guy said Shtayim, he meant Sof Shtayim. So if you skip a few lines, he says the following. V'yesh Lomar, Kishezeh Omer, when one of them says Shtayim, he says, Kodem HaNetzachamo, V'zeh Omer Li'achar HaNetzachamo, Demidagdikim Bahanetz, V'lo Toy Inshi, Avalhani Lo Digdiku Elibishos. In other words, if we assume that from an astronomical point of view, if Shtayim means Tchila Shtayim, it means before HaNetzachamo, then we should say the following. Why didn't he just mention to us it was right before HaNetzachamo? The fact that he omitted that information indicates that Eino Medagdek BaHaNetzachamo, Hani, these witnesses that didn't mention the Netzachamo, Lo Digdiku Ela B'Shos, they didn't look around to see at the time of the murder exactly where the sunrise was, you know, whether it's before sunrise or after sunrise, but rather they were trying to figure out what hour of the day it was. V'ein b'nei odah b'kiyum b'shos. But we have a principle that people are not expert in shows. Usvurim shashnia hischila achar netzachamo. So it means the following. Again, I'm going to have to go over the details. I owe you that. I studied this at about 1 a.m. this morning, so let me just give you the general and we'll get into the... We'll get into the nitty-gritty details later on. Tosfos's premise is that there has to be something in the Eidus which clearly indicates that they couldn't have meant what you think they might have meant. So we'll go over the two. In the first case, when we're talking about the day of the month, the fact that they tell you what day of the week it is, that indicates that they were unaware of the question of the month, whether it was 30 days or 29 days. In the second case, when it comes to Shaul's, the fact that he didn't mention that it was before HaNetzachamo, that must mean that he wasn't medagdik in the Netzachamo, he was just talking about Shaul's. So when a person talks about Shaul's, then he doesn't realize the difference between the beginning of the hour and the end of the hour. To him, the entire hour is one entity. Okay, so again, we'll try to go over that again, but let's just get the overview of the sugya. Now, where are we up? Azil Rav Huna. Does everybody have the page? We're on page Yud Beis on the top line. Azil Rav Huna. Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yehuda. Okay, so we're talking about Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yehuda. V'amro l'shmaita tokami de Rava. That's a no-no. When you quote Abai in front of Rava, that's not a good idea. Alright, so Rava says, this cannot be accepted. I cannot accept the interpretation of Abaye. So now let's focus for a moment on Abaye's interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda. According to Abaye, Rabbi Yehuda allows for an error of how much? 1 hour plus, correct? An hour of Shabbat Mashah. Now, one of them said it was at the third hour. The other said it was at the fifth hour. And according to Abaye, the one who said it's the third hour meant the end of the third hour. The one who said the fifth hour meant the beginning of the fifth hour. So the discrepancy here is 1 hour in Amashu. We don't know exactly whether the murder took place at the beginning of the third or the beginning of the fifth, but in either event, the discrepancy is only 1 hour. So now, you remember that Tosis, in the first Tosis on the previous Amud, on Yud Aleph on Beis, he said that the Gemara itself is going to raise this problem of Daikinon, that we should investigate. This is the Gemara that he's referring to. This is Rava's rejection of Abaye. Uma ilu Daikinon bahani sahadi. If we would have investigated these witnesses and asked them exactly what they had in mind, Dahai de ka'amar shalosh, we may have discovered that the one who said shalosh, he means Tchila Shalosh. V'hai dekamer Chamesh, what he meant, we might ask him, B'sof Chamesh, right? This was our problem and perennial issue over here. So hopefully, Rava is going to fix up this problem over here. Now, if the one who said Shalosh, he had in mind, and he'll admit it to you, I had in mind the beginning of the third hour, the one who said Chamesh said the end of the fifth hour, now we have the following discrepancy. We got the third hour, the fourth hour, and the fifth hour. We have a discrepancy of 3 hours. Nu, if that be the case, havia edus mukreshes. Because you're telling me that a person can maximum make a mistake, according to Abaye's interpretation, of 1 hour and a little beyond, but certainly not 3 hours. Velo katlinon. If it's edus mukreshes, we cannot kill him. So again, we don't know that. The Edom, had they been interrogated, they would have clarified, and Shalosh means Chila Shalosh, and Chamesh means Sof Chamesh. We don't know that, but certainly that possibility exists. V'anan nekum v'niktol misveka. If that possibility exists, how can we put the Nidon to death when it's a Sofei? Because there is such a possibility that when the first witness said three, he meant the beginning of the third hour. When the second witness said the fifth hour, he meant the end of the fifth hour. V'rachmana Amar, and the Torah says in Parashas Kitetz, it says v'shaftu eida v'itzilu eida, which means we have to look for any possible merit to vindicate the accused. And here's a possibility that we have to consider, that maybe there's a discrepancy here of 3 hours. Elama Ravas, and now Rava replaces Abaye's interpretation of the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and he says the following: with divrei Rabbi Meir, adam toe shteishos chaser mashu. With divrei Rabbi Yehuda, adam toe shaloshos chaser mashu. In other words, Rava is going to expand the margin of error such that even if the witness who said the third hour, he meant the beginning of the third hour, the witness who said the fifth hour meant the end of the fifth hour, we're still within the margin of error. How so? L'divrei Rabbi Meir, adam toe shtei shos chaser mashehu. A person can make a mistake of 2 hours plus. U'maisa ki havi, when did the murder take place? O b'tchila shtayim, O b'sof shalosh. And therefore, chad minai katoi b'shtei shos chaser mashu. So let's go over this. One of the witnesses said shtayim. Now, if we want to expand the discrepancy, he meant what? The beginning of the second hour. The other witness said shalosh. If we want to expand the discrepancy, he meant the end of the third hour. So we now have a gap of 2 hours. Oh, so let's work it out. It's 2 hours chaser mashehu, right? We're going to expand, so to speak, the difference, the discrepancy between the two edim, right? He meant the beginning of the third hour, and he meant the end. Did I get that right? Yeah. I'm sorry. He meant the beginning of the second hour, and he meant the end of the third hour. And even after that, says Rabbi Meir, the murder took place either at the beginning of the second hour or the end of the third hour. So the one who said the third hour, even if we, in the worst case scenario, we assume he meant the end of the third hour, when the murder took place at the beginning of the second hour, how much of an error did he make?
2 hours.
He made, well, again, 2 hours minus a mashu. Do you follow what I mean by minus a mashu? Why? Because even if the murder took place at the beginning of the second hour, right, then you're already a mashu into the second hour. So between that mashu and the end of the third hour is 2 hours minus a mashu. Chaser mashu. The Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Toa b'Shalosh Shos Chaser mashu. Why? Because again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if one said the third hour and the other said the fifth hour, we can still reconcile the Eidim. Why? Because so if we want to expand the discrepancy, the one who said the third hour, he meant the beginning of the third hour. The one who meant the fifth, who said the fifth hour, he meant the end of the fifth hour, which is a discrepancy of 3 hours, but it's chaser mashu, because either the murder took place a little bit into the third hour, or it took place at the end of the fifth hour, which would again expand the discrepancy, but the discrepancy only reaches shalosh shalosh chaser mashu. But now the Gemara has a problem. Tanan, we have a Mishnah, also Masechta Sanhedrin. Hoyu bodkin osam b'sheva chakiros. You recall, those who were here yesterday, I gave an introduction that the Gemara in Sanhedrin derives that there are 7 questions which are critical to interrogate the Eidim. Those are called the Sheva Chakiros. Later we'll talk about the Bedikos. Number 1, B'eza Shavua. Now if you have a 50-year period, it's made of 7 cycles of 7 years. So each cycle, which is called the Shemitah cycle, has its own number to it. Right? So in the 7 cycles, you have the first 7, the second 7. So the first question we have to ask him is, which cycle of the Shemitah did it take place? Now the Shemitah cycle is made up of 7 years, B'ezah Shana. The second question we have to ask is, which year in the Shemitah cycle? The third question we have to ask him is, B'ezah Chodesh, what month in that year? And the fourth question is, B'kama B'chodesh, what day in the month? Then finally, we have to go on and ask him more specifics. It's not only enough to tell me the calendar date, meaning it's in the X number of years, the X number of Shemitah, and the X number of years within the Shemitah, and the X number of months, but we have to know B'ezah Yom, what day of the week was it? B'ezah Shah, and what hour was it? So it's interesting. We have 6 questions out of 7, which are questions of Zman. In other words, tell me, when did the murder take place? And then the 7th of the Chakiris is B'ezah Makom, the location of the murder. Utnan. Now, what we learned until now about the Sheva Chakiros is the first Mishnah. The very next Mishnah says, Ma ben Chakiros lebedikos. Now, in addition to the basic 7 questions, which are called Chakiros, there are many, many other questions that the Beis Din will try their hardest to investigate the Eidim. They'll ask him, as we mentioned yesterday, you know, what was the murder weapon, and where did the knife go into his body, what color shirt was he wearing, etc., etc. Those are called bedikos. So the Mishnah says, Ma ben chakiros lebedikos. What's the difference between the standard absolute requirement of those 7 questions, which are called chakiros, and above and beyond the other investigations are called bedikos? And the answer is, Chakiros, im Omar echad mehem eini yodea, if he cannot answer one of the various 6 questions, or in the case of Makom, we'll jack it up to 7 questions of the Chakiros, a dusam betela, meaning each aid must, and this is critical, have a response to all 7 questions of Chakiros. But Bedikos is the exact opposite. Afil shneim omrim ein on a yodim, a dusa kayemis. So if the Eidim are really smart and they want to make life very easy for themselves, then after they've responded to the seven chakiris, from that point, mum's the word. They can just simply say Eini Yodea over and over and over again, because the answers to the questions of Adikos, if they give those answers, are only to put them into hot water. Meaning that it might be, you know, if one aide says that it was, he was wearing a red shirt, the other says he's wearing a black shirt, then we're going to have to throw the testimony out. Okay, fine. What does this have to do with Rava that we just learned? Vavina Be. The Gemara is going to raise the following question. Maishna Chakiros u'maishna Bedikos. What is the difference between Chakiros and Bedikos? V'amrina, and we said that Chakiros Omar Echemem Eini Odea, if one of them cannot answer any of the questions of the Chakiros, Eidusa B'teilo. Why? Why is that so? In other words, what is it about the Chakiros, the seven questions of what we call Zman and Mokom, that make those questions critical? And if the Eidim don't know the answers to any of those questions, or the answer to any of those questions, then we have to throw out the Eidim. And the answer is, this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Mem Aleph, the Havile, if one of the witnesses, and how much more so both the witnesses, says any a day, can't answer any of the Chakirot, that makes their Eidus into, quote, Eidus She'iyata Yochel Azima, unquote. Because Hazama means that two witnesses are going to come in and they're going to counter against the first two witnesses. So the first two witnesses testified about the murder, and the second two witnesses will testify that the first two witnesses were with them at the supposed time of the murder in a different place. That's called Imanu Hayisa. Yeah, you're familiar with that, right? Let's just write this. Hazama equals Imanu Hayisen. You were with us at the time that you claim you saw the crime in a different place. So you were with us in a different place. Therefore, it makes it impossible for you to have seen the crime at that time and at that place. Now, the Gemara is now postulating a new premise. This is the essence of testimony, according to Jewish law. Testimony is only valid, it's only acceptable, if it is vulnerable. It's a very interesting concept. The vulnerability is what makes the Eidus into Eidus. The Eidim have to expose themselves to the following vulnerability. Hazom. Meaning, it's got to be Eidus Sha'ata Yochol LaHazima, that lends itself to the possibility of Hazom. It's almost as if we're scaring the Eidim. How do we know that the Eidim are going to tell the truth? Because we're putting the fear of God into the fear of heaven into their hearts. We're saying, if you're lying, we're going to catch you on a lie, because we're going to get Eidim Azim and then testify that you were with them at that time in a different place. And therefore you couldn't have possibly witnessed the crime. If we don't have that fear over the head of the Eidim, then the Eidus is meaningless, because they could have just easily gotten together and decided, you know, let's make up a whole story. But to make up a whole story and then be exposed to the possibility of Hazama. Now, what do we do with the first pair of Eidim after Hazama? We kill them. I mean, if it's a capital crime, I mean, if it's a capital case, that's called the Asisim Lo Kasha Zama Mlasa. Whatever they wanted to do to the Nido, we're going to do to them. It's like a boomerang theory. So if they were testifying against so-and-so, that he's a murderer, and therefore he has to be put to death, they will be put to death. So they have to realize the severity, you know, the albatross that's around their neck, you know, the Hazam is hanging over their head. If they made up this whole story, then surely two witnesses will be able to testify that they couldn't have been there at the same time when they claim they were there. Memela, we must have an answer to all seven questions of the Chakiris. Why? Let's say, for example, when we get to the last question about Zman, which is what hour of the day did it happen? So the eight says, Eini yodea. I don't know. I don't remember. I forgot. Now it's Eini she'ia teyochol. There's no possibility of Hazlama. Why? Because when the Mazimim come in and say, Mono Ayisem, well, yeah, we were with you at 9 in the morning, but the murder took place at 5 in the afternoon. You know, we don't know. And how much more so if they don't remember where it took place, then there's no possibility of Hazama, because the essence of Hazama, Imanu Aisa, means that you were with us in a different place at that time, so you couldn't have possibly witnessed the crime. So let me just ask, you know, I'm always worried about my success here in pedagogy. I mean, just tell me, does, and please, I ask you not to hold any punches. Don't be embarrassed. Is there anyone here who didn't understand what I just said? Again, the answer to the following question: why is it absolutely critical that the Eidim answer all seven questions?
So the judges have a chance to acquit the person if they're telling a lie.
Well, yeah, but you're a step ahead of me. Before we get to acquit the person, somebody, we need a possibility to what?
Somebody can contradict that they were.
Correct. And that the Eidim will become Eidim Zomim. And then obviously we're going to acquit the, you know, acquit the accused. David.
If someone doesn't know the exact time of day, couldn't the Eidim Zomim say, we're with you the whole day?
Okay. Okay, that's this sugya that we're going to have now. Uh-huh. Meaning that and once we establish the margin of error, then what's going to have to be is that, but again, the Gemara doesn't know this yet, so I'm, in a sense, I'm making life a little bit more complicated for us, because let's just read the Gemara's next question and then you'll see what I mean. I don't want to give you too much information because then you won't understand the Gemara's objection. The Gemara says, "Iamritoi inshi kulehai." If you can tell me, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you can reconcile a discrepancy of 3 hours, minus a mashu, right? But 3 hours is then, if that be the case, Chakiris Deis Ashah, when we ask him what hour it was, and he gives us an answer, he might be off as much as 3 hours, and yet the Eidus is still kosher, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the way Ravitz explains it. Is now the Eidus Shiatiach Hazima? There's no possibility of Hazama here, because when the Eidim say, well, you were with us at that time in a different place, we can expand the discrepancy up to its stretch it out to its maximum, which is the 3 hours. The Amri Mite Katainan. We made a mistake. We made a mistake in shows. And we made a mistake as much as 3 hours of shows. And the answer is going to be what David said before. The Yavina Lu Kula Ta'usayu, that the Eidim Amazimim, right, the second pair of Eidim who say Mono Ayisim, they're going to cover the entire 3 hour period. Right? We were with you in, who can give me an example of something that takes 3 hours? We went to an opera. And the opera took place from 9 until 12. So for those 3 hours, we sat with you at the opera. Okay, the opera house is probably as dark. We need a place that's okay. It was a tennis match, right? And how long did the Super Bowl take? Don, you might know.
5 hours.
5 hours. We were with you sitting next. We had box seats at the Super Bowl, right? And you were with us. Lo zaza mitachas yadeh. So we know that for 3 hours you were with us. So even if we were maximum your mistake by 3 hours, it still would be impossible for you to have given that testimony. Hence we have Hazama, the Eidus becomes Eidus Shatiyoch Hazim. But the Gemara in the Habamina, before it knew this, the Gemara thought that to answer the question of Eidus Shah, in order to subject the or make the Eidus vulnerable to Hazama, it's got to be pinpointed. You can't just give me, well, the Eidus Shah, you know, within a 3 hour period. The Gemara thinks that's not going to cut the mustard. That's not good enough. Because unless you pinpoint an actual time, then how the Mazimim going to say, well, Imanu Ayisim at that time? You're expanding the time period. So the Gemara says, Enochinam, we can expand the time period for 3 hours, and then the Mazimim are going to have to say Imanu Ayisim for that entire period of 3 hours. And that alone is enough to create a deterrent that the Eidim would not falsify their Eidus.
These Eidim give evidence when nobody else is there except for them and the judge. Is that correct? And the only people that know their testimony is the judge. So, how would other people have the minute to come
the
and say, right. "Oh, you were with us"?
Because the law of Beis Din is that Beis Din has to send out a call. Did you ever learn the first mission in Ksubis by any chance? The first mission in Ksubis tells us that when Beis Din sits on Mondays and Thursdays, if it'll be an accusation against a married woman that she had some sort of an illegal relationship, they're going to send out a kol, kuf vav lamed, which means a rumor or whatever word, and try to adduce edim. They're going to try to evoke edim. Maybe there are edim who know something about this girl, and they saw some sort of an action. They didn't know who she was at the time, whether she was married or not married. But then, when they hear the call going out, they're going to say, "Wait, we saw that action."
That I understand. Fine. But how do the Adim Zomim know that these people have told something untrue? How would they know even to come in and say...
The Mazimim, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, because they hear the call. So Beis Din sends out a call, and they tell them the following. The call says, "We have testimony against a certain person in a murder case." And the witnesses are John and Larry, and they testify.
They give all that information out.
Correct. That's the call. Because again, without the call, then nobody's going to know what's going on.
Right. So it's a very... It's a very different system to
the secular system today.
Yeah, and also
where everything happens behind closed doors.
No, it doesn't happen behind closed doors. But if you're if there are two witnesses coming, mm-hmm. then the first witness goes in, and the second witness is not allowed into the courtroom. Right. To hear what that first witness is saying.
Yeah, so, but there's years in between, and everyone.
But is there some point in which, like, the judge or the jury will make some sort of statement that we have testimony here against the so and so that there was a murder that took place? No.
No.
So how do they? So I'm just wondering, in a secular case, I guess the deterrent is just that we'll catch them and somehow we'll...
Yes, yes. Or there can be conflicting evidence, but the second witness doesn't know what the first witness has said. So you can bring the second witness in and you can cross-examine the second witness and say, you know, what do you know about this place and were you there at such and such, but he doesn't know what the first witness has said. And the other thing that also...
Wait a second. Let me ask you a different question. In a secular court, do you need two witnesses or one witness is enough?
No, you don't need anything.
See, in halacha, since you need two witnesses, the two witnesses have to make sure that they're coming in to tell the same story.
So meaning they can collude.
True, but they each have to know about the other one. For example, the Mishnah says in Makkos that if you have Edus Miuchedes, which means... One aide saw the crime from one window, and the other from another window. They didn't see each other.
Yeah.
Then you can't put them two together. They have to have seen what they claim they saw it as a group, as a unit. Kershen?
I thought there were two sets of witnesses we're talking about.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about the first set of witnesses. So the question is, how do we set up a deterrent that the first set of witnesses who are testifying in a capital case, how do we instill the fear of the Lord in their hearts? Why are they going to be concerned about Edus Hamazimim, who are going to testify Imano Ayisim? The Edus Hamazimim are not going to be encouraged, they're not going to be motivated to come into court. They don't know that, you know, that... Right, that's what Michael was asking. Go ahead, Gershon. What do you want to say?
I'm a little lost.
where do we lose you? I mean, can you retrace the, you know, at what point did I...
No, I need to just follow along.
Let's just say the following, Gershon. Here's what I want to know if you understand. Because otherwise we're in deep trouble.
Oh.
What we're trying to understand is the following. That in order for testimony to be valid in Jewish law, the testimony has to be vulnerable to Hazama.
Send out a poll.
Okay, but how has it become vulnerable to Hazama? They have to know answers to seven different questions. six answer really one question. You can group them together, and one answers another. They're really two questions, and that's called Zman and Makom. Okay, then? Now, once the two witnesses pinpoint the Zman and the Makom, now they're subject, possibly, to Hazama. And that actually gives the, you know, paradoxically, that's what gives the kashrus to the Eidus. Why is the Eidus valid? Because it lends itself to Hazama. Why does it lend itself to Hazama? Because once they answer the question and they pinpointed the Zman and the Makom, then the next two witnesses, which are called the Mazimim, they can come in and say, Mano Yisa. At that time, you were not in that place, you were with us in a different place. So the Gemara now is baffled, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the way Rav interpreted, you're talking about a margin of error, a discrepancy of up to 3 hours. Let's see the Gemara's kashi here. He said, the Gemara says, "Yamatoi inshi kuli hai." If we assume that we have to allow for a 3 hour margin of error, kuli hai means so it's such a wide gap. Is Hakiros the Eza show when we ask him what hour of the day did the murder take place? Nami, it still becomes Eidu She'iyata Yochel Azima, because when the Mazimim come in and they say Manu Ayisim at that hour, well, the Amri Mitei Katinon Katainon, they can say, the Eidim could defend themselves by saying we made a mistake in hours, and even though we mentioned a certain hour and we testified about a certain hour, but in truth, at that hour that we testified on, which you claim you were with us in a different place. Yeah, we were with you in a different place. But an hour or two later, we were there to see the crime. So even though we mentioned, let's say, Shashlishes, right, it's the third hour, what we meant was the fifth hour, just that we called it the third hour because we mistakenly thought it was the third hour. So if you come in and say, well, you were with us in a different place in the third hour, they have a right to say no. We saw the testimony in the fifth hour, because again, that's when the murder took place, and we made a mistake by calling it the third hour. Because again, we're reconciling two Eidim. One Eid said the fifth hour, one Eid said the third hour, and we're saying that the Eid that said the third hour really made a mistake of all these hours, and even if it means the beginning of the third hour, and the other Eid means the end of the fifth hour, which is a discrepancy of 3 hours, that much of a mistake we can grant you.
Why can't you say anything about the zone?
No, because you always believe the Zomim.
What do you mean by the Zomim? We're talking about the Zomim. You mean the Mazimim? Oh, okay, good.
You always believe the Mazimim.
No. That's a different issue. But Mitch is saying that, you know, why not break down the whole. Just 1 second. They say they were with him. You mean to say, let's say the Mazimim say we're with you for 3 hours. So again, Mitch, what would you say? They say we're with you for all 3 hours. Maybe, yeah, I'll tell you what it's going to be, because I think once you go beyond 3 hours, in other words, if the Mazimim say we're with them from the third hour until the fifth hour, meaning the beginning of the third hour till the end of the fifth hour, then you're going to get into the issues about sunrise and sunset. Do you follow? Let's calculate this. The sixth hour is when the sun tilts towards the west. So what's going to happen is, if the Eidim, the Mazimim, the second pair say, well, we're with you from, let's say, from 11, well, let's even go back. We were with you from 9 till 12, correct? From 9 to 12, we were together in the supermarket. We did a lot of the Oshad was very busy that Friday morning, right? So we were with you for 3 full hours, from 9 to 12. So now you can't say that they made a mistake before 9, because that would be before Hanates, let's say. And you can't say that they made a mistake and it was really after 12, because that would be after the sun tilts towards the west. That's what I think. Again, I have to work out all the nitty-gritty
things. So here we're talking the specific hour, not just talking any 3 hours.
Correct. Very specific. That our whole sugya, when it mentions 2, 5, 2, 3, that's all in order to
avoid and avoid.
Correct, exactly.
Right.
We okay. Avoid nets on this side, and the sun tilting towards the west on that side. I mean, the Rishonim, we're going to work out all these details. I don't know if we'll get a chance to work out all these details. Maybe we will, I don't know.
is the case that in the time of the Gemara, they didn't have, like, we have a watch. They weren't right. picking the hour, right. they picking the time of day based on the sun and the stars.
Excellent, right. They had sundials and stuff like that.
They didn't think about it's 10 past 9, now they're thinking it's 10 past...
Right. You remind me that there was a famous legend. It was just a story that some Westerners got shipwrecked, and they ended up in an island full of natives, and the natives took very good care of them and really saved them. So when the Westerners left, they wanted to leave a gift for the local natives, so they left them a sundial. The problem was that the natives were so excited about this gift, they didn't want it to get ruined, so they built a house around the sundial. that's the joke they used to tell. My father used to use that in a drasha, that's why I know the story. Okay, anyway. So now the Gemara says the following. Let's go back to the possibility of Hazama according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, according to Rava, said that you can make a mistake of 2 hours minus a mashu. Is yavina le mitchilas shah rishona ad sof chamesh? Okay. So again, one witness said second hour. The other witness said the third hour. Okay. So let's just see. We have now from the beginning. Of the, just 1 second, how did we get to Chamesh? Just 1 second, give me a second here. Yavin and Lahu, we're talking about what? So again, one said Shtayim, which means the earliest time of Shtayim, right? The beginning of Shtayim.
Must be
Well, let me just, I'm sorry, give me give me a minute here. I had this, but, a second. So again, Zesh Amar Shtayim is Nosin Lo Mitchilas Hashor Rishona Ad Sof Shah Haravis. So let's see. If we have a margin of error here of let's say we'll call it 2 hours, right? It's 2 hours minus a matcha, but 2 hours, right? So if he said Shalosh, then we have to allow him to have made a mistake of 2 hours in both directions. So let's say if we go backwards in time, so then we have to give him from the beginning of the first hour, right? Because he said Shah Shalosh. So it could be he was off and it really took place in the Shah Rishona.
Aren't you into Nates?
Wait, just give me, I'm sorry. Yeah. Before we get to Nates, I just want to work out the Gemara's Kash and then you could ask for your Kash. But if I don't know what the Gemara's Kash is, I can't answer your Kash. So what is the Gemara's Kash? So Gemara is asking now, according to Rabbi Meir, if we allow you for a margin of error of 2 hours, so now when he says, one of the two witnesses said that it happened at the second hour, therefore we're going to have to give him from the beginning of the first hour until the end of the fourth hour, correct? Because we're going to have to give him a two-hour margin of error. So let's see if the Mazimim come in and they say we were with you in the second hour, correct? So how could you have testified that it took place in the second hour? How could you testify that it took place in the second hour? You were with us elsewhere in the second hour. So now the aide is going to say, well, maybe the Maisa took place either earlier or later, and I made a mistake in counting. So if he says, okay, so therefore, I'm just trying to get the mathematics here of how do you get Tchilas Shah Rishona? Again, Tchilas Shah Rishona Ad Sof Chamesho. So the one who says Shtayim. So let's give him the beginning. You see, again, what we're trying to work out here is according to Rabbi Meir, how much of a time period would the Edim Hamazimim, the second pair of Edim, have to cover through Imanu Ayisa, right? In order to be Mazim, these two Edim. One Ed said it was the second hour, the other aide said it was the third hour. And Rav Meir says that aide is reconcilable. So then we're going to have to say the following. According to Rava, in Rabbi Meir, a person can make a mistake of what? Of 2 hours. So we have to give these two Edim, one who said the second hour, the other said the third hour, the entire period of time from Tchilas Shor Rishona Ad Sof Chamesh. What does that mean? So the one who said Shtayim, we're going to give him from the beginning of Shor Rishona, right? Because if he says, let's say Shtayim, oh, and we try, oh, in order to reconcile them, where one said two and one said three. Just 1 second. If one said two and the other said three, so now what we said was that even if we assume that the one who said two, he meant the beginning of the second hour, the one who said three meant the end of the third hour. So there's a margin of 2 hours. Is therefore, what's the Tchila Shor Rishona? L'zeh Sh'omer Shtayim Nosnim. We have to give him Mitchilas Shor Rishona, right? Because if the murder took place at the beginning of the first hour, Mitchilas Shor Rishona. 1 second here.
It's not only to do with the time of the murder, it's to do with the times that they are saying. If he says the second hour, that can go back to the beginning of the second hour, and you have to allow him a two hour margin, so that takes you back to the beginning of the first hour.
How'd you get to the beginning of the first hour?
Well, if it was 8 o'clock,
right,
you go back. Well,
8 o'clock means what? That's when the murder took place.
He says eight. The beginning of the second hour is 8 o'clock. The beginning of the first hour is 6 o'clock. You go back to 2 hours. And the one.
Say it again. If one more time, Steve. Again. So if the beginning of what? Say it again.
The second hour is 8 o'clock.
Okay. The beginning of the second hour is 8 o'clock.
He can make an error of 2 hours, so he can really be at 6 o'clock.
Right. That's what it means by Tchilas Shor Rishona.
Right.
Well, how do you get that? Tchilas Shor Rishona.
Beginning of the first hour.
Oh, and what did he meant to the end of the second hour? But how did you get to two? You want to allow him a margin of error of 2 hours, right?
Either way, so he can, if he says 2 o'clock, if he says the right. Second hour, that can be the beginning of the second hour, right. Or the end of the second hour.
So let's assume for argument's sake it means the beginning
right.
Of the second
hour. So he can go back 1 hour, which is the beginning of the first hour.
No, but
he can go forward 1 hour, which is the end of the third hour.
And I don't think that's how it works. According to Rabbi Meir, the way Rava said it, he can make a mistake of 2 hours.
That's right, 2 hours, 1 hour either way.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't know why should it be 1 hour either way.
That's how you make a mistake. If you're going to make a mistake, you can either go forwards or backwards. So the 2 hour here is an hour before and an hour after.
I don't see that. Just give me a minute. Rabbi Moshe, in this case, I apologize. If you have to go, just go. I mean, I'm going to have to sit there myself and just, because this is where I got a little bit stuck with the mathematics here. Just 1 second. Let me read this again. Mitchila Shor Rishona at Sof Shor Chamesh. L'zesh Amar Shtayim Noslin Mitchila Shor HaRishona at Sof HaShor HaRevis. V'im Yomru Amazim V'imonu Ha'isem B'Shor Shniya V'yodu Lom Rachein Lo Hoya Maise V'osa Shor Shamarti Ella lefaneha ol leachreha v'ta'isi b'cheshben ha'shol. So zeh shomer sholosh nosim mitchilas ha'shor rishona. Well, that makes sense. Ad sof hachamishis. I have it all except for one little point. I understand that for the person, the witness who said sholosh. Right, the witness who said shalosh, so we have to go back 2 hours, back to the Tchila Shor Rishona. But what I don't understand is why do you say the same thing with regard to the witness who said shtayim? The witness who said shalosh, you want to go back 2 hours for that margin of error, so you get to the beginning of the first hour, correct? and you have to expand it to the end of the fifth hour, because maybe from the right, maybe he made a mistake by being mocked him, so you have to give him 2 hours after Shalosh. So if you give, if he said Shalosh, and you got to give him 2 hours in each direction, that's not the way you understand it, Michael, but that's the way I understood it. Yeah. So if you got giving him 2 hours in each direction, you're going to have to go from Tchila Shor Rishon at Sof Shor Chamesh. That I have.
That's for the person who says 3 hours, because you don't understand the one that says 2 hours.
That's the way. That's where I got stuck here, because
it should be an hour even before that.
Right, so I don't understand if he says shtayim, well, why is that called chilas shor rishon? If he said three and you want to go back 2 hours, I understand that's
maybe because then you get into the fact that it's dark and you can't, you know, if it was dark, then for sure
you would. Oh, that's the next line in the Gemara. Okay, I see. You see, 99% of getting stuck in the Gemara is because you don't read the next line. I'm just giving you a methodological clue. Okay, let's just read the next line. Ubedinu denesiv lu meikar tfeh. If you're giving him a margin of error of 2 hours, then you should go back 1 hour before the first hour. But we can't do that. Why? Ella. So again, keep in mind, if the mazimim say imanu ayisem at the beginning of the shah, in the second hour, let's say at the beginning of the second hour, so then the witness has a right to say, well, the murder took place at the beginning of the first hour. But he has no right to say that the murder took place earlier than that. Why? Let's give him a full 2 hour margin. Why did you cut him off at the beginning of the Tchila Shor Rishona? Ella. Bein Yomam Lo Leila Lo To Inshi. Meaning the first hour is the earliest hour of daybreak. And anything beyond, anything earlier than the first hour would be Lila, would still be a dark out. So if the Mazimim say to Mimonu Ayisim at the beginning of the first hour, they cannot, the witness cannot counter and say, well, maybe the Maisim took place at the last hour of the night, because you couldn't have called it the second hour of the day if it really took place and you really saw it at night, because that mistake we don't make. Okay. The answer is I didn't read the next line of Gemara. That's the how far did we get? We got almost to the bottom of the okay.
The end of Yud Bet.
We're almost at the end of Yud Bet. You know, we still have two lines left on Yud Bet. Rabbi Yehuda Yavin and Lahu Mitzchila Shor Rishon at Sof Shor Shishis B'Neisim Lo Mikar Tfei. Ah, so why do we go back to the Tchilas Shor Rishona? So Shalosh. And so the 1-8 who said Shalosh, if we give him an extra hour, because he can make a mistake of 3 hours. So if you go 3 hours backwards from Shalosh, then you, again you get into the Lila. So that's always going to be the cutoff point. Okay, we're almost at the end of this part of the sugya, and then the next part of the sugya is pretty easy. We go back to the Mishnah in Pesach and we try to reconcile.